What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here, founding this Kingdom podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Ant-Man and the Wasp. We're going to be doing a full spoiler cast, kind of talking about the movie. The reason for that is it literally only came out on Thursday here in the UK last week. So there was about a month delay between the US and the UK. And while we did do kind of our... James gave us a non-spoiler review a few weeks ago. Well, I kind of want to talk about it. And let's be honest, it's a very light week of news coming up this week. So... Well, I want to talk about this movie because I did sort of sneak off on my own because my wife didn't want to go see that one. And I enjoyed it. It was a nice, fun, easygoing movie. The villain wasn't quite what I was expecting.
Well, what were you expecting with the
villain? I don't know. I was expecting a bit more of a traditional villain piece where, you know, she wanted something. Wanted to get rich, wanted to get, you know... I feel like trying to save your own life, that didn't quite come across quite so. It was like, okay, yeah, you want to save your life. I can kind of see why you've maybe, and you've been trained by the government to be a killer that you, yeah. She kind of was much less of a traditional villain than I was expecting.
Yeah, she's much more morally gray. And with the exception of Infinity War, it does seem that the Marvel movies are kind of moving in that direction, which I think is a good thing because, you know, they've had their formula for a long time, but the villains have typically been your mustache twirling, cackling, monologuing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So between Killmonger in Black Panther and now Ghost in Ant-Man and the Wasp, I think we are moving kind of more in a morally gray, and that's probably a good thing so long as they can keep the quality up. It's obviously much harder to write a morally gray villain than it is to write, you know, just the I'm going to conquer the world and et cetera, et cetera.
You need that. I mean, I was surprised by it. I mean, the outfit and stuff, the way that she's presented and stuff wasn't too bad. I could have done without the really cheesy... like mob boss, kind of crime boss. He was a bit generic.
Well, like I said, that's your mustache twirling. Yeah. I'm going to be evil for the sake of evil character. Unfortunately, they kind of played him more as a comedy relief. He was almost a Justin Hammer kind of character from Iron Man 2, where, he was a threat, but not really.
No.
He was way in over his head.
Yeah, no, I thought that was good. As a whole... I mean, I thought the relationship between Ant and Wasp was better. It was a little bit more, you know, and he's, you know, this thing about constantly wanting to be back home and him not wanting to do it because of it upset everyone when he did what he did in Civil War. I thought that played well, and him being locked in the house and stuff. It just felt very comfortable. It's like, I felt like I instantly went back into that. Well, even though we've only had one movie with them, it kind of felt very familiar so quickly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they kind of brushed over the Civil War stuff where, you know, he got captured. It was part of the movie, but it wasn't part of the movie. So that kind of let them get it out of the way and focus instead on being a sequel to the original Ant-Man, built on the relationships and so on. I think also having Hope be her own hero this time around was a better decision. I kind of wish she had been this way since the first movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least we got it here. And then we also, of course, got to see Hank Pym in a pseudo Ant-Man costume. It was obviously a throwback to the original when he was in the Microverse. So,
yeah, so I'll was cool. be honest. There was the only thing that kind of bugged me was the use of Michelle Pfeiffer seemed very, very limited. You know, she really wasn't really around for very long. And in one way, kind of when she was controlling Scott, that felt a little bit forced. I wasn't quite so keen on that. And then she just kind of came out and just helped Ghost instantly. And that was it. And it was like, okay, I was expecting a bit more from her, to be honest.
I would expect that in terms of Michelle Pfeiffer and in terms of the character Janet, that they're really more setting her up for the third movie.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is on the docket right now, but I'm sure that they're going to slot it in at some point. But yeah, I think most of my complaints about the movie would surround her. The main one being that the powers that she gained in the Microverse were very, very convenient in the situation. They're not powers that Wasp has ever had or had for any significant amount of time. And they did, you know, they did say that it was temporary.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why Scott had to go back into the microverse at the very end of the movie, yeah, in the post-credit sequence. But between that and, you know, she was less character, more plot device.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was a bit of an. I thought as a whole that was it. Speaking of that, end scene did stay for both of them. The first one was, well, I called it, didn't I? When we did the review weeks ago, I said I'm expecting the post scene credits where some of them just filter off.
And it was all of them,
yeah,
except for Ant-Man. Scott. But Scott's going to be out of the picture too, unless someone knows how to get him out of the microverse. Well, there
was some kind of artwork had gone around, and there's been. And he was filming in New York.
All right. Well, we'll see if he.
So there's
if some, they find.
Yeah, there's some rumors that time travel might be the and they've gone back to the Battle of New York or something to try and, I don't know, but that's been
we'll
just
see.
A word. We'll find out on it. But.
But what about the second? What about the second?
Oh, that was awful. That was
it was a total waste of time. It was worse than the Captain America at the end of Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah,
at least that one understood that it was pointless and that was the joke. But this one was just like, hey, it's an ant. He's doing the drum beat, and the drum beat is the same as from Infinity War. Cool.
It was
a total waste.
It laughed, but then it was like, okay, yeah, no, I'm. The only good thing was usually is just text the wife. Go, I'm just waiting for the credits. So when she comes to pick me up, she was already outside. So yeah, it's that thing of I was a little bit like, not so keen on that one. I like the first one was important. I mean, I was expecting maybe something from a little bit of a tease for what's coming up, but I don't know. It feels like Infinity War. They're a little bit like we can't show too much. I mean, Captain Marvel's the next big one,
right?
So yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
and Captain Marvel's not even going to really take much into Avengers 4. We expect, again, it will be a post-credit sequence, possibly where she receives the message from Nick Fury that was in the post-credits for Infinity War. At least that's what I would expect it to be. Or maybe her showing up like on her way to Earth at the end of Infinity War. But, you know, and that movie is supposed to take place in, like, the 90s anyway. Mm. So, I know we're kind of sounding a little bit like down on it. I'm actually really excited for that movie. It's just if you're looking for answers from Infinity War, unless of course you have no idea what we're talking about and you don't know what the message because you didn't recognize the symbol.
Well, I didn't. I had to Google it when I finished the movie.
I think most people did. I had to look it up. That is because Captain Marvel, despite the fact that Marvel has been pushing her very hard since 2012, give or take. She's not well known outside of comics, so I expect that a lot of people didn't know what the symbol was.
Yeah, I didn't quite capture that. I remember at the time it didn't, because it's funny because I did watch Infinity War over the weekend. Thankfully, I got sent the Blu-ray to review, so I watched Infinity War pretty much just the day after Ant-Man. So it's all fresh in my mind. All of that, it was all kind of. I had a bit of a Marvel weekend, so it's all kind of into that one. But I do really. It kind of made sense a little bit more. I would have liked at the end credits for them maybe not to have been up on the roof in some little car where they've obviously come up with anything. It would have been nice to have just had that happen as they literally got out, they saved Ghost, and then suddenly they just went. That would have been a much better, like, don't build up to it, and that would have been right at that same point of what they were doing so as to show, because we could have been... You know, they must have built that thing. So it could have been weeks or months between that and the events of the movie.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is we don't know. We still don't know when the Ant-Man and the Wasp takes place. I mean, obviously it's after Civil War. Obviously the bulk of the action is before Infinity War. But why? And then also, you know, obviously the end credit sequence occurs at the snap. Which means... the second battle of New York, whatever we're going to call it, the battle against Thanos, has already been going on for quite some time at that point.
Yeah.
They must have heard that New York got absolutely trashed in that battle, or that there's a big fight in Wakanda. Well, they might not have heard about that because of, you know, hidden and all that, but they would have heard that a giant spaceship appeared over New York, and Spider-Man was there, and Iron Man's missing and all this stuff, but now they're just like, we're we're chilling. We're in San Francisco. We're going into the Microverse. That which, honestly, that entire sequence just didn't make any sense. No. I know they had to get to a point where they were saying, okay, Scott is in the Microverse, but the time scale just doesn't.
Yeah. To me, I still think he's gonna get out, and because I think they need him for Infinity War 4. It's just they've already eliminated so many characters. They're gonna need to, and he wasn't in the first one. So, but
right.
As far as that, yeah, it's just it was that kind of thing of. I'll be honest. I thought Ant-Man and the Wasp was a nice palate cleanse after Infinity War. It reset it back to being okay. We can't keep making everything bigger and bigger and bigger, and that was a nice, just normal movie.
Yeah, and I'm totally fine with that. I think, you know, just like in the comics themselves, not everything has to be a world-ending event. Sometimes it's better to do just the small character pieces. They can still have their big action piece moments. I thought some of the fights with Ghost were great. The choreography, especially the one where Ant-Man, Wasp, and Ghost were all in like a three-way, and they kept shrinking, so she was missing them, but she was phasing, so they were missing her, and it was a great fight. It's definitely not on the scale of Infinity. It's not even on the scale of Black Panther, for that matter, but it does what it does, and it's a perfectly fun movie.
It used the kind of the big and small things as well, very well, of like him, you know, the car's getting smaller, the car's getting bigger, and him getting bigger. I mean, I like that whole scene with him, you know, he's got really big around the boat, and then suddenly then he's knocked out kind of thing. I mean, how the Wasp could spot him in dirty water always gets me going. Whenever you look at the water, I go, yep, you ain't going to see nothing in there.
There are a lot of logical inconsistencies with the movies. Both including, Ant-Man, you know, and
the Wasp would be the two big ones.
I mean, yeah, how do you... they're just major problems. When you sit down and actually think about it, they're huge, gaping problems with the movie. But I think it's to the movie's credit that you're able to sit down, watch it, and just kind of go with it while it's happening. I mean, the biggest problem, of course, was the one they introduced in the first movie, which is that when you shrink an object down, it's supposed to maintain its mass. Yeah. Obviously, otherwise, when they punch people, it'd just be like a little insect flick. But they're shrinking entire garages full of cars and carrying them around in Hot Wheel cases. They've got a building that's also a suitcase. Yeah. You know, the mass thing, they just kind of play with it whenever they want. You know, the line from Civil War, that shield doesn't obey the laws of physics at all. I think that applies to this sequence of movies far more. But again, you just kind of roll with it. You accept that it's a genre convention or not. You know, you don't have to. If you want things explained and if you want there to be logical consistency, I can totally get behind that, but this is not the movie for it.
No, I was just, as a whole, I really enjoyed it. I came out of that movie and was going, that was good. I enjoyed it. You know, is that kind of like 8 out of 10, just good. Wasn't the best movie of all time, but I enjoyed it and it was solid. And I actually think it's going to hold up better than some of the other movies, because you're not going to be all tied up into all the events of the other ones. You're going to be able to sit down, watch this, and just enjoy it for what it is. And it's going to have a start, a middle, and an end, and that's kind of a good thing. But no,
I think just to build on that, I think it's both going to benefit and be weakened by that. I think it'll benefit from, you know, you can just pop it into a movie to your Blu-ray or download the digital copy or Netflix whenever that comes out, and not have to worry about the grand continuity, which is great. But at the same time, kind of scrunched in between, you know, these massive hits, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, Avengers 4, possibly Captain Marvel, you know, not having that connection might just make it kind of be like one of the forgotten movies, like the original Ant-Man. They're still there, but you typically don't talk about them outside of like, oh, I'm watching the entire Marvel cinematic universe in preparation for Avengers 4. That's when that's the only time you talk about movies like Ant-Man or Thor 2 or Iron Man 3 or movies like that. So that's not to say that they're not good movies. They are still, they fit within the Marvel universe, but they're not ones that will typically come up in conversation when you're talking about the Marvel Universe.
No, it's definitely really good. I did enjoy it, but we'd love to know what you guys thought. And, you know, feel free to spoil away, because if you're in this video already, you've been spoiled. On that note, guys, remember to go check us out over at DizKingdom.com. You can like, follow, and subscribe on the social medias and on the different platforms such as Spotify, iTunes, etc. for the audio versions of this podcast. James, where can they find you?
Find me, heroiclegacy.com.
On that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.